Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm Amy Bullock, the press officer at Aid to the Church in Need UK, the charity supporting persecuted and other suffering Christians. And I'm very happy to be joined by Ripka Nevesh today, an advocate for Christians in Pakistan. Ripka, thank you so much for being here today. We'll be talking about what life is like for Christians, especially Christian women and girls in Pakistan.
Yeah.
So Ripka, where exactly are you from and what was it like growing up as a Christian girl?
Okay, I'm exactly from Faisalabad, Punjab, Pakistan, and I completed my school and college from LaSalle High School campus too. It's also in Faisalabad. After completed my college, I got admission in Government College, University of Faisalabad, and I did my degree in orthotics and prosthetics. On that time, it's 2016, and it's really difficult for me because my school and college is a missionary, and when I got admission in a Muslim institute, it's really difficult for me. I face a lot of discrimination there because I am the only one Christian girl there, between 75 Muslim students. And in the first day, they met with me really nice, but when they asked about my name, I told them Ripka Nevesh, and they say it's a biblical name. I said yes, and their face expression, their behavior is really changed. They say, How can you come there? They not completed their education like this. It's really, really difficult degree. How can you come there? And how you paid your fees? It's really expensive degree. And they don't know how my parents paid my fee by taking loan from some banks. And yeah, and I faced a lot of things there. On that time, I share with my father that I want to do also this work for my people because I already faced these things in my uni. And my father and my mother really encouraged me, and because they already doing work for our people, for minority people. And from my childhood, I saw them and I observed them, but I don't know that that kind of cases also happened with me when I got admission in my uni. I faced a lot there. Then 2016, when my parents went there for like some seminars, for interfaith seminars or for that kind of cases, they also took with me there, and I also attended that seminar, and I got information how to handle and how to deal that kind of cases, and it's really good experience for me. But my parents never discouraged me. They always make me stronger. Then I started press conferences on Minority Day, on different girls cases.
So growing up, did you always feel different to the other children, the other students who were Muslims around you? What did it feel like to be the only Christian girl?
Yeah, I feel really different because when I got 3.7 CGP in my exams or good grades, some girls who seated behind me, they asked to my teacher, recheck her exam, her papers again. And I, on that time, I felt really bad. Even during break time, I sat only alone and did my breakfast or lunch, and it's really hard time for me.
And thinking more broadly about Christian women and girls in Pakistan, what would you say are the main challenges they face?
There are numerous challenges. Firstly, I want to say about domestic workers, because domestic worker girls are those girls who are doing work as a cleaning work in the homes of some like radical Muslim women. They tortured them, and it's really, really so many cases there, and the cases of brick workers and the cases of abducting, kidnapping. And there is also numerous cases on the name of religion of jobs. It's also hitting me a lot. When I completed my degree in 2020, on that time I faced a lot because my main focus is my job. I wanted to do job there, but due to my name, I always rejected when during interview they know my, because because in my uni there is a literature job, lecturer job, and I applied for that job. And during interview, when they know my name, Rebecca, they say, "Oh, okay," and they rejected me in front of my face. It's a minority quota, 5% minority quota seat, and there is no any Christian in my whole department. I am only the one. Why they not give me that seat? I came back to home. I cried a lot on that time. Again, my parents encouraged me a lot. And during internship, we are four girls and three are Muslims and I am the Christian. I don't know what happened between that three girls and the doctor. They make their papers and I don't know. I say it's a papers on internship. I don't know that after internship, they want to hire them for job. Yeah. And there is a main case of Myra Shehbaz. It's a case of kidnapping. She is still in depression.
Yes, I'd like to talk about Myra's case. But first, I'd just like you to say a little bit more about the challenges in expressing your faith. You know, you mentioned some job interviews you've been to, where you were rejected because of your Christian faith. In those kinds of circumstances, do people ask you directly about your religion, or have you decided to reveal your Christian faith yourself? So what are those situations normally like, and how does it feel to be in those situations?
Sometimes I want to reveal my faith because I feel proud that I'm a Christian girl, and sometimes they ask me directly because in my eighth semester some boys proposed me only for that purpose. They want to change my religion, but I have strong faith. I never do it.
And those situations when people tried to convert you, are they normally quite friendly about it? So can you just share a little bit about those situations?
In whole semester, their behavior is really bad with me. And once eighth semester started, their behavior is really good with me. And I feel also good that they are changed. But I have no idea what they want, which benefit they want from me. Really friendly and give me something. And they said to me, can we do assignment together? Can we do this project together? And I feel happy that now they want to become my friend. But when they ask me this question about conversion, on that time I hate it, or I feel it that they want to convert it. That's why their behavior is changed or friendly with me.
Yes, it sounds like you can be under a lot of pressure if you're in that sort of environment. But so moving on to the case of Myra Shehbaz, you have met her personally, I believe. You have spoken to her on the phone a number of times. But let's just start from the beginning. And if you could just very briefly summarize Myra's story, please.
She is a little girl from Medina town, and she is also from Faisalabad. When that something happened with them on that time, when she was 14 years old, it's 28 April in 2016, and three boys kidnapped her on gunpoint. She took them and do something with her, like abduction or kidnapping case. And then Myra family did a case against them. They even show the birth certificate to the judge there, but they gave that case in the favor of Muhammad Nikash, that boy who said that I got married with her or that kind of things. But nothing happened. They only pressurize her, and she's a little girl. And then they again want to did this case, and again on that time the judges wanted that to, when they the other judge when they show that certificate to that judge, the judges decided that they return the Myra to the shelter home. Okay, then again they give them date to them. There is a new judge, and that judge gave favor to the Muhammad Nikash, and Myra again returned to the Muhammad Nikash home. On that time, when they did bad things with her, she decided that she in night time when they slept, she ran from the that boy home to her home. Then she came back to that to her place, and in August I met with her through Sir Morris or Sir John, because they gave me a little task for her. I met with her, and like she is in a little room, and she is like in depression, and even she not talk with me, but her mother told her that she is a good lady, she did something for her, and she came to meet with you. Then she little bit talk with me, then I took her number, like slowly, because I want that I do something for her. Like I want to take her from depression. I want to become her friend on that time, and she also make my friend, and now we are talking on a phone, and I talk with her, and her current situation is really bad.
Let's just go back a couple of years. So the reason she had to go into hiding is that I believe she was accused of blasphemy by her abductor.
Yes. Yeah.
Because her abductor claimed that she converted to Islam, which would mean that if she's not practicing Christian, then she's guilty of blasphemy.
Yeah.
So that she and her family had to go into hiding. And can you just tell the story of how you found out about her for the first time when you saw her singing on TV?
Yeah. Her belief is really strong. She never want to convert the religion. In that boy only made a story to told the judge or to tell the people of Faisalabad. Her strong is really her belief is really strong. Even on that time she sang a holy song in the assembly of school. Till she sang a holy song. Yeah.
And her singing was broadcast on a Christian TV channel, I believe. And that's how you first
I saw her video on Facebook. Someone quoted it. Okay. That little girl sung a song in a Christian school, and something happened with her. On that time, I read her case. And I share with my parents and my father. Say we are already did work on it on 2014. Yeah.
And when did you meet her for the first time?
Last year in August.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the last time you spoke to her on the phone, I believe it was just a few days ago.
Yeah, 4 days ago spoke with her.
So what can you tell us about what she's like these days, what life is like for her and her family? Anything you feel like sharing about her?
I want to tell you that her mother is jobless because in beginning she doing a domestic work, but some people and we all group said to her, don't do it because something already happened with your daughter, and we don't want that again something happen with you also. And he has little brother, he's school going, and he's doing study in 9th class, and one little sister is also like still in home with Myra, and one sister is got married. Yeah, and she's really intelligent girl. If on that time, like someone give her like to if she get admission in some places, I'm thinking that she is really intelligent girl, and she get a good position in the exam and everything. And when me and my husband went to their home, it's a little street, and when we reach their home, it's a lock outside, and we on that time we felt that no one in the home. Then we call someone to call them that we are outside the home. Then Myra mother came and opened a door for us. It's a lock on their outside of their home because she want to rescue her daughters and herself also.
And did Myra ever tell you anything about her faith, how important her Christian faith is to her?
She said to me, sister, they are really dangerous people. and I not convert my religion. It's a fake papers and everything is fake. Even they pressurized me on that time. I said nothing. It's only like a fake story they told to the people. And every time when I talk with her, she gave me a lot of prayers. Her strong, her belief is really, really strong. Mm-hmm. And she shared with me and that sister, every day I pray for you. I pray for myself. I pray for my family. Because now I am in a little place, like in my home, but I feel that I am with my mother and I feel like a peaceful with my mother. I'm not with the dangerous people or with those people. That's why I run from her, his home.
And thinking about your situation as well and your family, Christian friends in Pakistan, how important is faith to these people? Would you say that if you belong to a religious minority, does it potentially deepen your faith in some cases? Does it make you stronger in your faith?
Yeah, some people are really, really strong in their faith. And some, like when they give threat to them that we want to kill you, and on that times they change their mind. Because everyone wants their life. Yeah.
But there are so many stories of people refusing to convert.
Yes, yes. And when they're refusing to convert, they kill them. Yeah. And they are always in risk. Who, like, the people who refuse to convert, they are always in risk. They have no idea anytime what happened with them.
Aid to the Church in Need has supported various projects in Pakistan to help women and girls get better education. We have supported various training programs. But just thinking about the West in general, what more could we do to help Christians in Pakistan?
I want that you arrange a training programs for our Christian girls. Like for seminars, more seminars for Christian girls, as go to the domestic world, they want to start do a more study. They want to become a good leader, stronger women. Mm-hmm. And I advise like to your organization or to your or institute, I request to you, I'll arrange or build more schools for Christian people in Pakistan. If you build more educational institute for them, that they never go to domestic work or brick workers with their parents, they start studying there free of cost without any fees, because they have no more resources. Yeah.
What is the best way for us to pray for the Christian minority in Pakistan?
To pray?
Yes.
Okay.
What should our benefactors be praying for?
Okay, you also pray for their here also, and you can also arrange online meeting with them. On during prayer, you also share about faith, about belief, when you give a Bible message to them.
Well, Ripka, thank you so very much for being here today, for talking to us. Your story is very inspiring, and I'm sure our benefactors will enjoy listening to you. Thank you so much, and God bless you and your family.
God bless you too and your family. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.